feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
Look at this pin I got, which the listeners at home can't see. It's Jay and
Starting
Silent
with
Bob.
The visual.
Yeah, it's Jay and Silent Bob, and it says, "A woman's body is her own fucking business."
Oh, from Dogma. Oh.
Yeah, which is a movie you can't watch, and that's really upsetting.
Well, who can't watch it? Why can't what?
It's under Miramax, so all of like Henry Weinstein's involvement in Miramax, they wiped the movies off of the internet. So the only way you can watch Dogma specifically is if you buy the DVD at a Goodwill.
Well, lucky me, I still have it. That voice you're hearing, that's not George and I. Cecily Alexandria, welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Also, I realized I'm Danny, that's George. We didn't say that part either. How's it going?
Good. Glad to be here, I guess. We'll see.
Oh, no, that's how. All right. You are embodying what it feels like to be on this show, Cecily. I appreciate your candor.
Just a slight reluctance to never shed it, even when the show's over.
How are you feeling? How are you doing?
It's life, so overall I think I'm okay, but you know, today wasn't my favorite day.
Yeah,
I was gonna bring up some fun stuff. What, do you want to talk about the not favorite part?
No.
Oh, fair. Good, because I don't want to either. you just got to work with Maria Bamford.
I did.
That's so exciting.
That was fun. Yeah, it was really fun. So I was really appreciative of her reaching out. She reached out through Facebook Messenger,
and
I was
wild.
Like, I don't believe you, but I'm gonna
this can't be real.
I'm still gonna follow up until it gets to be a scam. But
you're
never
walking through the theater door and they're like, who are you?
Yeah. But it never was a scam, so that was a really good fun experience, and
That's awesome. I had lunch with her once like 10 years ago and I still talk about it all the time.
How did you have lunch with her?
I was at
Were you at the same restaurant and then you just slowly scooted your chair closer?
No,
to her table?
She sat with me.
I was
like, this doesn't seem right. I was just sitting at a table by myself waiting for like friends who were showing up late, and she was like, oh, you're sitting by yourself. Do you mind if I sit? I'm like, no, absolutely not. Stay the whole meal.
Yes, Maria Bamford.
She does that. She like was reaching out to find people, like find a person to have lunch with, like the day of the show, so that she could kind of run through her stuff. And it just happened that the person who responded is a friend of mine, so he like was vetted by me.
Nice.
I'm like, she just goes out and randomly meets people.
So I've heard her talk about that before, and I'm always jealous because like I love the idea in theory, but I don't believe in people enough.
I just don't have the personality for it. I'm just like, I don't.
No, you're a very welcoming present.
I'm a kind person, but I don't like people.
Yeah, I say that and mean it, but also I know what you put out there for the world.
I also was a little terrified leading up to this because I think the last time me and Cecily talked, at least on a Zoom call, she canceled me, and then I changed my name to John Deary so no one could find out that it was me. It's one of these like early pandemic Zoom shows. Mm-hmm. I guess I was trying a joke or something, or it was more of a faux pas than anything, but I do take responsibility. But it was I think you wrote in the chat like, George was doing so well.
I know you were, like, because during that time, like, there were different white dudes on that show, And
odds are good. Odds are always in favor.
And George was one of my favorite white dudes on the show. And then he went and ruined it. And now, and now John Deary is my, no, I'm just kidding.
And you fooled her. You changed your name, which is like, I guess it's John.
It's always been me, suddenly. I am John Deary and Jack Fitzsimmons and any number of bald white comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I was watching Breakfast at Tiffany's the other day, and there's a scene where she's in a prison. And I've seen this movie countless times, but the conversation is basically over. And then she looks up and she's like, yes, that Jack Simmons is an absolute rat, and then the scene ends. Like, it's not really part of anything. And I was like, hell yeah. I know a Jack Fitzsimmons who's a rat.
You gotta take him down when you can. Yeah. But back to Maria Bamford, like, that is such a bold and cool thing to do, to just I'm confident. I'm like three beers confident. I think that's where like it is. Like, I need to be alcoholically lubricated to have the wherewithal to walk up to a group of people and be like, what are you guys talking about? And just join that horseshoe of friends. The fact that Marie Bamford just sees someone sitting alone and goes, what's your name? Like,
I mean, it was a controlled environment. It had safety implied. I wasn't just some weirdo. We were at the same event. So there's a little bit of safety involved, but still, I can't think of a time where I did that.
Not since I was a kid. Like, if I see kids playing on the playground, I was one of the first people to walk up and be like, what's your name? My parents are divorced. Like, it was just like, it was second nature. It was just, I got to go hang out with someone. I might as well hang out with these kids. And then things got complicated.
You grew up, became an adult, and
none of these kids want to hang out with me.
You still went to the playground by yourself.
Still led
smoking
with my parents,
cigarettes, sitting on a bench by myself. You know, the standard fare.
I love that idea of doing that, but like, not there for any creepy reason, just like exhausted. Like, this is the only bench this park has. I don't care what's over there. My parents are divorced.
I like when I dropped my car off at this auto body shop that's not near me, but they were the only auto body shop that seemed nice to me when I got my car back one time. So I just, from that point on, I'm like, yep, you're my guys. So I gotta drive out to Englewood, New Jersey every time. But there's like a little, like, it's a bunch of houses and there's a little baseball field. And when I drop my car off, I'll go walk around this neighborhood, just annoying all these old people. Cause it's not like a, like, there's no sidewalks. I'm just walking in a street and past these very nice houses. But I stop at this little park and I sit there, and there's been a couple of times where I've been sitting there on my phone and I'll look up and there's like a bunch of kids on a play set across, and they're like, oh, I gotta go. Like, this is not okay. I'm just a man with a phone that looks like every once in a while I'm taking pictures. Yeah. Like, it's just,
this will be good for later.
Gross, Dan. You work in childcare. Don't say that.
You set the scene.
Yeah, I set the scene, but I am a thespian, an actor.
Oh.
Yes, I was in a web series once.
Yeah, we heard.
Have anyone seen that web series?
A couple people.
should I look up the views? Do we want to know?
I'd say at least 100 of those are me.
Just, I don't know if it registers if you just keep watching the same scene over and over, though.
Damn it, because I'm very good. No, does anyone else do this, or is it just me? Like, I listen to myself do stand up a lot. I listen to the songs that I record a lot, so I get tired of them. Or is that like, or do you like hate the sound of your voice or listening back to the things you've done?
I listen back because I have to, but I'm not like, I don't really enjoy my voice. It just sounds like I'm trying to lull people to sleep. So I'm just like,
it's working.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'm wired. I got some tequila in me because we did the burrito bowls thing. So obviously I made margaritas. I'm feeling
one
good.
The same, yeah.
I'm feeling obviously wired. I'm feeling great about what's going to happen right now. Should we take the wheel and see what we're talking about today?
Sure. Let's give it a spin.
Intern. There's never an intern.
And we got...
I love a multi-syllable emotion.
This is a big one.
Disillusion.
Yeah, Cecily, what makes
that's
you
at least
feel
four.
Disillusioned?
Let's see. The very first thing that comes to mind is higher education.
Oh boy.
It's a waste of time, a waste of money, a waste of my life. And but I was sold on it. I did it because there were promises that,
yeah,
you know,
they really made those promises over and over and over and over.
Yeah,
to think anything else would have been crazy.
Yeah, so
genuinely, it's a total generational thing where I think people our age will not do what our parents did and our grandparents did, where it says like,
what, pay off our student loans?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. But there's also like the fact of like, oh, you gotta go do it. You're like, you need a good career if you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
And it's like my brother-in-law works HVAC straight out of high school. He's doing fucking great.
Doing
like,
well. Yeah.
It's not even about the money thing. I think it's the stigma of not having a degree that is really like boiling up the yeah. drive of people to do so, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you see those people who are like 96 and they get their diploma finally and you're like, for what?
Right.
Thanks for the debt, grandma.
Right.
Yeah, just you're going away with too much money, so you're like, all right, let's throw tens of thousands of dollars at something.
Yeah.
And God forbid they raise their hand to ask a question in class. Oh my God. Anyone that's 10 God. Years older in a yes. college class and is like, well,
so
actually,
annoying.
I have opinions.
Yes, I know you have life experience, but we're going by the book.
As yeah. a single mother, I just think that what Napoleon meant was.
Yeah, I hated the adult, the like adult.
Yeah.
People in the class.
Not like, to get yeah, not to get shitty, but it's like it's always the adults or like the kids that went to the military and are now in college.
Oh, the slightly older.
They're just old enough where it's like you can't invite them to like go out to a bar after or anything, but they're the only one that can afford alcohol. Because,
yeah, yeah, I was the slightly older. I was the slightly older, yeah. I did a year off, and that caused me to jump back to basically meet up with people who were sophomores. So I finished out my education at Temple the last 3 years of other people's 4-year degrees. So I had a bunch of years on them. Like I have friends who like just turned 30, and I'm like, yeah, you did. Good for you.
So Cecily, what specifically do you think you find disillusioned about it? Like, is there a specific thing that you're just like, oh, that's the crux of it all?
I mean, for me personally, I just felt like that was the path I had to go. Like, there was no other option for me. And I don't, like, first of all, when you're 18 years old, like, what do you know about the rest of your life?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Everything. I was right. I was exactly right. but I understand most people.
I mean, right. Like, I mean, I do think it's great for lawyers, doctors, science, you know, certain degrees are absolutely necessary. But I went to school for, like, broadcast communications. That's stupid. Like, nobody
well,
stopped
using
me.
It now.
Yeah, but I'm not
Look
getting paid to use it. Like,
I'll Venmo you. I'll Venmo you. Okay.
Yeah.
No, Dan, what did you go to college for?
Oh, I was elementary and special ed. It was the last possible year that like dual major, because I'm actually double major, and it was the last time you could do both at the same time. as like a joined program kind of thing. Now you have to do them separately. So I got lucky in the timing. Yeah.
So would you say that you've actually used your degree?
I mean, I was a teacher for a year and a half, so I did then, but the job I'm doing now is the same job I was doing before I graduated, so.
And Leslie, other than right now, have you used your broadcast degree?
No.
All right, so me and you, same camp. Dan actually got away with it.
What was the thing for both of you that you were most hoping would happen that you didn't get?
A job.
I don't know what like an entry level broadcast job is. That's more my question.
WFMU night DJ. That's all you can hope for.
Yeah, can I be the Temple Jazz Station DJ forever?
Yeah. You're listening to Temple 93.3, the low end of the dial. We're going to listen to some Charlie Parker, who died on a couch. Charlie Parker died on a couch.
On Verve Records. I just learned that.
Oh. Wow.
Useless information, but I have it now.
That's what my major was. Look at that.
Useless information.
It was American studies. Like that, like anything America based. They were like, yeah, that's the one. You got it. My final paper.
You should be a leader then. You should be kind of like right leaning leader.
that would be the assumption.
I had one kid. He's a sweet kid, but like he just never caught the hint that like I wasn't gonna join the College Republicans. Where it's just like every once in a while he'd invite me to a meeting and it's like, you clearly have no idea what my background is. So, like, this is
my parents are divorced.
My parents are divorced. And when it was like my mom's weekend, but she had a date, she would just like put on the Daily Show and be like, there you go, Uncle John's gonna babysit you tonight.
Oh man, did you see him going off on Congress last week? It was
great. Yeah, he did a good job. Good for him.
I like when the points are so easily made, but someone still like gets like gung-ho about making them. I'm like, hell yeah. Everybody agrees with you except for the people who get to decide. It's a pretty easy stance to take, but like take it. Right. Say it loud.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The thing that I was most disillusioned about with college was
the girls, man.
The girls, man. I technically met my fiance in college.
It's in the brochure.
It is in the brochure. Genuinely, it says, I don't know if you know the story, but in like the student like collage of pictures that go by, it was a picture of me looking at my fiance play guitar on stage, and we didn't meet each other for like four more years.
Oh, but that's cute.
It's a cute photo, but it is a little creepy. And actually, I recently remembered, I'm just looking up this person so I don't dead name them, but I watched her open up for, do they go by their dead name?
Well, then that's a very complicated question.
It seems as if. Well, no, because I've been trying to avoid it. But the artist Teddy Geiger, who is trans, played at my college for some reason.
I know that name.
Yeah, they were in the movie The Rocker. They had a couple singles.
Oh, yes.
They were the singer of the band in the movie The Rocker.
That movie.
Yeah. But they played like they did like a college show at my little no-name college in northern New Jersey, and Casey opened. So I watched Casey open without realizing, because I definitely went to Teddy Geiger with my ex-girlfriend.
Oh no. It's a rom-com waiting to happen in real life. That's
exactly
great.
It's a meet cute of what am I trying to say? It's a meet cute of John Hughes proportions, let me tell you. But the disillusion in college, it wasn't that I was going to get a job. It was that all this pent up anxiety of what I needed to do after the fact. And then only for it to come crashing down immediately. Like the lowest part of my life has been right after college, where I had everything lined up and then it all fell through all at once.
Oh yeah.
And looking back now, it's like, it's fine. you're fine. Like, yeah. It seemed like such an end of the world moment. And I mean that, like, man, was like the disillusionment of college all come to a head, and then you watch it fall away and you're still standing. Like, oh
yeah,
oh, it meant nothing. Fuck.
Great. It just keeps going.
Yeah, you mean my final thesis on American punk rock isn't important?
Hey, I wrote a paper about Clueless once. Like, college is bullshit.
I did a I excelled in public speaking, which is surprising, but not also not surprising because I'm a comedian. But like, for most people who know me prior to comedy, like, I just have always been quiet to myself and didn't talk much, but I excelled in public speaking, and I'm kind of old, but when I was in college, 8 Mile came on, like 8 Mile, the movie. That's when it like came out. And I loved Eminem's song. And so we had to do like a storytelling public speaking. We had to do like a cheers public speaking, a storytelling, like just different things. And I made up the story based on the song, and I like it was stupid.
You just told them the movie 8 Mile.
Yeah, so
sound, you know. Advice. I hear 8 Mile is a beautiful area now. It really got gentrified after the movie.
Fixed it up quick. Yeah.
But also, I was at a Christian college in the South, so there you go. There's a lot more to
the yeah, that's an extra layer.
Eminem has a great, like, great concepts and all these, but, you know.
You know what really was disillusioning for me in college was I was there when Katrina happened.
Okay.
And immediately after it happened, my English teacher dropped her whole syllabus for the entire year, broke us off into groups, and had us come up with a plan to rebuild New Orleans.
Oh.
In my English class.
Okay. Mind you,
the thing that the professional people had not even began to try to figure out because it was still happening.
Right.
She was like, this is such a tragedy. Woe is me. I'm so heartbroken. I need to do something. So our whole English class became about fixing New Orleans after Katrina and what went wrong in the first place. And we're like,
I mean, that's great.
Which student stood up and said, George Bush doesn't care about black people? I just want to know which one posed that question.
Was Kanye in your
class? Kanye actually went to Temple. Not many people know that.
See, no,
never forget that in that speech, Kanye is standing next to Mike Myers.
Mike Myers.
And that's just like the last time I saw Mike Myers.
Yeah, and then he's just sitting there with his head down, be like, this is not your moment, Mike. You just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he sat that one out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was at a school in Western Massachusetts, so there were not many people who were willing to stand up and make that point, if you follow.
I mean, it'd be weird if Colton did, you know?
Yeah, they were not present.
If Braden in the back of the room was like, George Bush does not care about black people, it's like, Braden, your daddy owns a boat.
Neither do you.
the immediacy of her creating this project, that hadn't even happened yet. Like that Kanye line.
Wow.
Soon after. She was like, this is terrible.
We're like, now, would you consider this a white savior moment to be like, we're going to solve New Orleans?
Oh, yeah.
she made the teacher getting up on stage and be like, we're going to sort this shit out. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I have a PhD in English.
She was every bit just an English teacher, because every time she tried to like go into the topic, she knew nothing about any of it to like even tell us what we're doing. So we did it for like 2 months and she bailed on it.
She had hope for the young people. Like, maybe she was trying to
we we worked on it. We got some stuff in, and she was like, this would be brilliant, but I don't know if that works. And we're like, then why are we doing this for you?
Yeah.
I'm imagining.
Did she correct your English papers? Like,
no,
did
no, she we all just passed. We just passed. That's it. She gave up on the lesson, and
see,
then she was too far gone.
That's disillusionment, like.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's disillusionment right there, because you're like, you're supposed to be learning something. But if you aren't even, if you're just passed through, then.
Yeah, and we were going, like, all of us, for education, which. Great.
I like to think.
At least teach me how to teach here. But, like, no, yeah. That wasn't even what she was doing.
I like to think that when she did bring this up, that same character, Colton, was like, yes, very Braden, stoked on this idea. What is a levy?
I don't even think that word was in the lexicon yet. I think we had to research and find out that they broke before the news was like, here's why it was as bad as it was. We're like, right. Yeah, we know. We already know that.
So this is pre-Kanye, pre-Levy in the public lexicon. And I would argue, because it's somewhere in between those two moments, was pre U2 and Green Day covering The Saints Are Coming at Saints Field.
That was probably like a year or so after.
You're good. You didn't need to. It was Bono again being Bono.
Hey, when something's going wrong, he's like the reverse Mothman. Like, Mothman comes before, he's like the harbinger of like something bad did happen.
Right.
Captain Hindsight fucking Bono.
I do like, man. You too, though. I feel like I should say that because people look at me funny when I say it, so I like to be called out on it. It's like a torture thing for me.
Recently I rediscovered the clip of, and I'm not like, I once respected the one guy, now he's just sort of angry punk grandpa, but it was an interview on Howard Stern with Henry Rollins. And Henry Rollins was like laying in to U2. And it's just a great clip of him going, he is like, so I was like, you really don't like U2? And he's like, I want Bono's life to be shorter. Do you understand me? And he's he's like, they have the weakest rhythm section on planet Earth. They got a drummer that can't drum, a bass player that can't play bass. The guitar player's got one riff. The singer, who's this utter buffoon. And but then Howard Stern cuts them off because I think they were coming powers. On like the next week.
Yeah. If you get enough mediocre people, you become.
They elevate each other. Yeah. Mediocrity comes with delusion.
Yes.
Yeah. That's another thing I would say I'm disillusioned with, is like looking back at like the people, the heroes that you have, and then you realize that like, oh, they're human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful. Yeah. Like, Henry Rollins, what a guy. Like, really liked what he was stood for, and like the just the bravado, but still with a fucking brain in his head. Like, it wasn't just like lunkhead stuff, but then he says shit. And you're just like, listen, grandpa. Like, well,
he's
punk grandpa.
He still has
to
maintain provocateur.
Yeah, but why? Why? It's going to be okay. Why can't punk rock just be like a relaxing tea time?
Punk rock is capitalist. What?
No. Oh, we've talked about it on the show before, but if you ever get a chance to look up the
Sex
clip.
Sex Pistols are a boy band. What?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. But look at the clip of someone heckling the Casualties at like an open air festival in Mexico. And they pull the kid up on stage and he's like, you guys are fucking capitalists. And he's like, we're not capitalists, but we do need to make money. And he was like, that's capitalism. Like, it's just them bickering back and forth on stage. Like, it was nice of them to give the kid a platform, but they're going to go immediately and do another shitty crust punk song immediately afterwards. Should we take a quick break, or are we good on time?
Yeah, we can take a break.
Did you get a break?
Yeah, break.
Cecily does not like the boys making noises.
It's weird.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, friends and weirdos, I'm Meg. And I'm Alyssa, and we're the host over at the podcast Real Chills.
Do you love the unexplained?
Do you listen closer for things that go bump in the night?
If so, Real Chills podcast is for you.
The best part is all our stories are true.
You can check us out on Spotify.
And if you have a story you'd like to share, email us at realchillspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey everyone, Danny here with plugs. You can find Cecily on Instagram at Cecily the Great. You can also go to her website at cecilyalexandria.com. You can sign up for her newsletter there and find out more about her and stay up to date with what she's doing. As for George and I, you can see George on Wednesday as part of the Philly's Funniest competition. That show is at 8 o'clock at Helium. If you can make it out to that, that would be awesome. I'll be there hanging out for a little while and come say hi. You can find George and I on the internet at Feel Feelings Pod in all the places. And while you're looking all those up, if you could take a second to like, share, rate, review, whatever the thing is on the app you use, go ahead and do that. It would be awesome. And for all the other Wasted Robot stuff, you can find it at wastedrobotrecords.com. That's it for this week. Back to the show.
Because the only bottle they had was a $9 organic bottle of blue agave nectar. Wow. Also, what is nectar?
Juice? It's,
yeah.
Is it juice? Because this is more like an oil.
I mean, it's...
I feel like it's
juice
more...
Juice of the agave.
It's like sap. Thank you. It's like sap from a fruit.
Fruit sap.
It's more that consistency. Like, I think juice is watered down in some way, maybe.
I hope we're back.
I'm making this up. we're back.
I hope it comes back on. Nectar juice is more of a liquid. What? Nectar? We're back.
Yeah. Well, now it came back on that.
I love manipulating or editing.
All right.
I dropped my phone.
I don't need it. It's fine. I'll pull up what people said on Facebook. Anyway, George, while I'm doing that,
yeah,
what makes you feel...
Okay, let me think about that for a second. It is sort of like a big one. It's a big one that affects.
You should be disillusioned with America as being an American historian.
You're absolutely right. But the trouble with that is that you learn about the shit before it hits the fan.
Yeah, and you so have the inside track.
It's less disillusionment. It's less disillusionment and be I like, see. It was there the whole time.
More disillusioned with like the citizens.
Yeah. It's like
I thought we were all paying attention and participating. Don't you remember Obama?
Yeah, and you're like Obama, the guy that was most compared closely to Ronald Reagan. Like yeah. Their policies were somewhat similar. Like I liked the guy, and he did his best, and he was a great figurehead. But at the same time, it's like he had. You can't go in and be like he was perfect. I don't know if you can say any president is perfect.
No, they're all relatively bad.
Yeah, like this margarita that I'm drinking currently. Casey went to the liquor store and got. What's her name? Kendall Jenner's. Yeah. And I was like, why did you do that? It's like her own tequila brand. And she was like, well, she's like the least problematic of them all. I was like, if anyone has that
George
amount
Clooney.
Of money. Yeah. Well, no, I can't afford Casamigos, which again is the same tequila brand that we discussed on the show that I found out was not the Migos tequila.
House of Amigos.
I was driving behind a truck and there was a picture of George Clooney on a motorcycle as in Casamigos, and I went, how is George Clooney doing like acting work for the Migos?
That would be really fun if they were friends.
Yeah.
I just
Offset and George Clooney going in like a movie. Right.
But yeah, disillusionment. I mentioned it briefly, but like in your heroes, by no means am I saying that Kendall Jenner is one of my heroes, but it's like we were just talking about it at dinner where I was, you know, no one with that amount of money can be a good person. Like, maybe that's too strong of an opinion, but
I think there's an aspect of when you come by it that, like,
yeah,
if you're an adult and you've lived a life and have a bunch of experiences and then somehow you get money, I guess you'd have, in this case, you'd have to earn it for my, what I'm saying to make sense. But like, you can, like, if you have values instilled in you and then you have money, I think you're going to be okay. If you only ever just have money, like,
I think my disillusionment comes in from money. I think a lot of my disillusion, like, I've never understood why money is so important. We've talked, I mean, maybe I brought it up.
It buys things like happiness.
Yeah, like happiness. buys a jet ski.
Feelings.
It buys feelings. I'll feel happier.
Honestly, I think a rich person made that expression, right? They're just like, no, don't worry. You can't get happy with money. I'll just keep it. You don't need any. It doesn't make you happy. And then they just like walk away on top of an elephant.
Don't worry about it. This is my elephant. no, but like we've talked about it on the show a little bit, but like in the last, you know, decade or so, like, started making a relationship with my dad, who I didn't talk to for like 10 years. My dad tends to do this thing where he's like, you know, like, well, I'll come over for Christmas or something, and then like my Christmas gift is cash. Mm-hmm. Or like, mm-hmm, Easter, which I don't associate as a gift giving holiday. You know, throws a couple bucks my way. I would have so rathered the time back for 10 years than 50 bucks. And the disillusionment of money is watching the people think that may solve the problems down the road, when right, genuinely all I want is time back. You know, it's like, if you want my money, that's fine, but if my time, I have a problem with it. Like, that's the backwards thought, you mm-hmm know. It's not a great, like, you learn your entire life that, like, go to college, make a name for yourself, you get stability, and not to sound like a grumpy Gills, but like, in this economy, you want me to try to be stable? Right. But like, stability isn't, like, stability shouldn't be financially based. Stability should be emotionally based. But mm-hmm, yet we're told from such a young age that, like, that's the thing. That's like, you got to afford a house, you got to go do the damn thing, you got to work hard, you got to put in the extra hours. It's like, nothing pains me more to stay work a half an hour later for thankless work.
Yeah,
you know, that's, I think, my big disillusionment is money and how much faith people put in it. I think the Powerball's up to $1.5 billion or something.
Someone won it.
Someone got
the other
it, yeah,
day.
And does that person, and I'm not saying like we need to vet it by any means. I don't think we should have it. I think that money should go to like tons of other more important shit.
It goes, like, to benefit older Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But someone won that. And like you said, it's like, if they won it, but they learned values beforehand, I'm like, hell yeah, you earned that money. But we have no idea. And if someone won it in Pennsylvania, 9 times out of 10, they have a flag that has Trump written on it and then Pence painted off of the map.
More than likely.
And it's like, I'm sure I love, you know, staying home on a weekday and watching my lottery dream home as much as the next guy, but they're still going to buy the $300,000 and pocket the rest. It's not going to be this luxurious mansion, and mm-hmm, they're probably terrible people. I know that guy with the neck tattoo, he seems fun, but I don't know what his life is like. He gets new tattoos every season break. You guys know what I'm talking about?
The
host is covered in tattoos, yeah. And if you watch an episode from the first season, he has like one on his arm, and then you watch one from the last season, that man has a tiger
that
wrapped
TV
around
money.
His neck.
It's coming up to his jawline. Yeah.
It's like tribal all the way down to his hand. He's just very flamboyant gay man that is just like, we're trying to find your dream home, and it's like, we need to find you laser. Like, sorry, I got carried away. Dan, what about you? What makes you feel disillusioned?
Oh, you know, it's a very unique to my job thing that happens, but it had an effect on me overall, where so often I will make stuff with the kids that I work with, and by the time I leave or by the time I show up the next time, it will just be wrecked and gone. I just felt good about making something, and now I just like I lost that feeling overall of like I'm making this to show people, and like there's value to making something and having it go away. Like I don't mind that in theory, but like the putting so much work into something and then having it disappear just like took the wind out of my sails to kind of do that stuff going forward. It's like the thing I was excited about that like didn't have the payoff at all that I was hoping for.
As someone that has been asking around for people to be my groomsmen and my beer boys, Dan, thank you so much. but like, I can't talk about it in depth because I don't know when this episode comes out and if anyone has have it or if any of these folks that I'm asking are, you know, listeners of the show, but I've created a Zodiac killer style puzzle for them to solve. And then inside it, like once they hatch through it, it like says, like you open up an evidence letter that has like blood splatter on it. And when you open it up, it's just like a very nice letter saying how much they mean to
me. It's really
how,
sweet.
It's just genuine. Like the payoff is that it's really, really sweet. And then usually it ends with, this is George, by the way, I don't think I mentioned that. but in doing so, like, it's putting in that work and being like, ooh, I'm so excited. Like I did a creative thing. And then like at least half of the dudes that have done it, they're like, that was annoying. Why would you make me do that? You could have just asked.
Yeah. It's basically that. Like, it's like anytime I make something cool out of Lego, the next time I show up, it's gone. And it, like a lot of the times it'll just be like, I just wanted to see if I could make it. It's like, but it was made. I did it. It was made. You didn't have to make it. It was done.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I can't fight that instinct. I probably would do the same thing of like, that's cool. How do I do it? But having it happen to my stuff, I was like, well, why even make anything?
Yeah. Cecily, do you ever experienced that?
No, never.
Wow. Good for you.
No.
Everything you've created is a monolith to Cecily.
Your mom's fridge is just covered. Every paper you've ever written, picture you've drawn.
Just your whole book just knifed into the fridge. It was like, I'm so proud.
The fridge is tipping over because of so much stuff.
I have two things on the fridge, so that's, and it's not mine. It's my niece and my little cousin. They wrote us letters, so that's a thing. I get that feeling. Like, I understand what you're saying. I just don't have like a thing off the top of my head.
Wow, then you are not allowed back on the show. This was.
I mean, I'm so sorry.
That was the biggest smile she gave. All she's like, I don't have to come back.
I don't have to do this again. I'm so disappointed while I'm smiling. No, for whatever reason, like when people ask me like, what's your most embarrassing moment or something, like the negatives, like I have to like really think about it. So in this case, I'm like, I'm absolutely sure I've had many a moments of someone destroying something that I put time or care into, like but
it is weird because like when I've worked with younger kids, like someone knocks you over their blocks and you're like, just build it again, who cares? And then like the same thing happens to me and I'm like, why do you knock over my blocks?
I think that's there's like a thing, I forget what it is, probably depression, where it's right. My parents are divorced. It's like other people deserve grace,
mm-hmm.
but
oh,
you
yeah.
don't.
I go oh, to yeah. there. I went to therapy for that. thank you.
And yeah. Would you make enough money to go to therapy? That's incredible.
I don't. I said I went to therapy. Currently not going. I am not rich and white. So that was one of the things that like we actually had to work on for me, because I'm like saying all these things, and then when my therapist would say it back to me, I would be like, what, why would you say that? Like, like I would never say that to anyone. And she's like, yeah, right, exactly, but you're saying those things about yourself. So, you know, like I'm very gracious to like understanding that people are human and make mistakes and all these things. And then, you know, I write the wrong, you know, number or whatever, and it's like, I'm so stupid or whatever. Yeah. You know,
like I'm walking off a cliff. This is the worst.
It's weird. I'm so quick to like grant myself clemency on that kind of stuff. Of like, you made a mistake. That's okay. Whatever. Like, fix it.
Are your
move
parents
on.
Together?
Yeah, of course.
No, Cecily, I don't think you realize. Let me repeat it again. My parents are divorced.
Yeah, that's the whole dynamic of our show.
Dan teaches me how to be healthy, and I talk about how my dad hunts for Bigfoot and didn't speak to me for 10 years.
Like, it is such a weird thing, though, of like, when I'm harder on myself and I'm mean to myself, then I'm so much more productive and accurate in my work. But more often than not, I'm like calm and nice with myself and I get very little done.
Oh, like, really?
When I get like, oh, come on, you idiot, just finish it. Then like, I finish it. But when I'm like, ah, oh, it's all right. There's no deadline. Just take your time. Do it right. And like the same product comes out, it just takes like 6 months longer when I'm nice to myself.
Yeah, I have to force myself to open up certain emails at work just because I work in customer service. So it's like, I know these people are mad. I don't want to take on their anger.
Yeah.
You know? There's one specific guy that like, I have finally gotten him back on my side, and all I need to do is respond to him. And I have taken like 3 days to respond. I'm like, I'm purposely getting this man angrier at me, and I don't know why.
You just like having someone in that space. It's a controlled anger space.
Yeah, I like it. Maybe that is it. Maybe it's about control. It's like, at least I can do what I did to my dad.
he can't get more mad at me. And if he gets nice, then the only option is he gets mad at me again. Yeah. So if he just stays mad, I don't have to worry about the change in attitude from him.
Wow, Dan, you're really unpacking some things here.
Welcome to the show, Cecily.
Really your therapy, George? Like,
this is so little to do with the guest. It has so much to do with me and my dad's well-being.
Man, I should have just went to school for like therapy or social work or some sort of brain function stuff, because I feel like I definitely wasted a lot of time learning how to teach.
Dan, could you imagine how good this show would be if one of us had any sort of like mental health skill?
Yeah, if it was comedy mixed with expertise.
Oh my God. No, it's just comedy and rambling like that. Yeah. And like, you're the comedy and I'm just like, you know that guy from Lotto Home? Oh my God.
Well, speaking of rambling, I don't know, finding a transition. You want to see what the people said?
Let's see what the people said. Let's see if they're any better off than we are. I gotta say, this emotion has really rocked me to my core. I love that we're doing this, but I don't feel good.
Well,
will be over soon. You can
go
drink.
Healing. Cecily, you know what it is? It's been healing.
Oh, it's heal. The but healing I'm, hurts.
The healing
the
hurts.
The darkness like ripping out. That's
yeah.
The good feelings don't hurt when they come out, but the bad ones.
There's a blockage. There's a kidney stone in my heart. I think that's what it is.
Oh. That's a stroke?
Yeah, I think
no,
so.
That's the brain. That's the brain.
No, that's
it's a heart attack. It's a heart attack.
Yeah.
It's how's your arm? Is your arm feel okay?
Still there. We're good.
All right.
Because as everyone knows, when you have a heart attack, your left arm falls off.
Yeah, it just shots itself up.
Is it a stroke? I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Both of them do have a symptom of the arm.
An arm situation.
Because your heart's on your left side, so you feel it more on your left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. I never even thought of it.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard it somewhere, and now it's true.
You're not a doctor. You're not a psychotherapist.
I'm not an expert. Just like from our first comment, anti-maskers, anti-vaxxers, and COVID deniers. That was a perfectly timed transition to our first one. Very disillusioned by those people.
Yeah.
But
so when were they?
I wasn't really though.
Wait, they are disillusioned by the.
By the like their existence, yeah.
But when were they? When did they ever have hope for them? Like, when was it like?
Right at the beginning, they were like, "These people got some points." You know, like, it is a conspiracy theory.
Like in the beginning, there was a lot of people who you wouldn't expect to be positive and chipper about, like, "Oh, this will be over soon. We all just have to do our part." And "Oh, well, if they're in, everyone's probably in." And then, like, day two, you're like, "Oh, no, this is going to go for a while."
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't that disillusioning for me. Like, it was disappointing and upsetting, but, like, just that awareness of history thing. We're like, both sides are so angrily vocal in every point in history about every kind of... like crux moment that like why wouldn't it happen this time? Like
right.
it would be weirder if it didn't happen.
Right.
You know what it is? I think it's, and maybe this is classist in a way, but it just sounds like they're Yosemite Samming. Like, God flab it, God give it. Yeah, and they're just shooting the floor and they're upset about it, and it's like that's
varmints everywhere.
It's like I knew there's so many varmints and like that's part of it where it's like, damn, that's still happening. Like my disillusionment is this is still happening, huh? You're like after 2 years you're still gung-ho on this.
I see. That makes sense to me. Like
there's like no exception. Like there was that whole interview. I don't know how real it was. And that's another thing too. It's like the news. Like, I don't know how much is actual real news versus fake news. Like how much it is sponsored by Pepsi. Like it's so tough to tell. There's so many extra steps to just try to get to that point. But in doing so, like with like the guy, it was a news story where he was claiming that COVID deaths were not over 1 million because he has a clicker right on this computer screen. It says like 300 people, like 2,000 people have died from COVID. It is like a year into the pandemic. Okay. And this guy is arguing. He's like, I have the information right here. It's on the internet. Silly internet people saying that, like, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. I got the same information as you. It's the same thing. And they finally like arguing and they go like, did you refresh the page? And he's just had the same page open since, April of 2020. And that's the information he's basing it off of. And then once he refreshes, he's like, well, you edited that. So it's like, not only is the world against you, but you just cop to your mistake and be like, wow, that's terrible. Maybe I'm wrong here. Like there's no self-reflection. And that really like, just like makes the hope for the human race, just throws it out the fucking window with these people. Yeah. It's just, they're not... I don't get it. Like even the most conservative people that I know have somewhat, you know, like they're like, oh yeah, I know it's happening. I just don't think it's as bad as it is. And it's like, this is pretty bad, but I guess that's progress. Like, damn, it's tough. All right. Go to the next one. Cause I'm just getting angrier on this episode. I'm genuinely.
Oh no.
All right. Eat ice cream and watch some comfort TV after this.
How about this one? Meeting like 70% of stand-ups I liked on stage.
Don't meet your heroes.
I kind of disagree with that one. I mean, yeah. I understand. I'm sure a lot of stand-ups are terrible people. We've learned that over the last few years pretty regularly. That keeps
We're
being taught to
you,
us.
Watching you, Maria Bamford. I'm kidding. She seems like a very sweet lady.
No. She was very nice to me. To me,
at least. She has lunch with strangers to harvest their organs for her collection.
But yeah, like, I think I've just been lucky enough that, like, I don't know if it's the type of comedy I like, or I've just been lucky to meet nice people, but, like, generally, these people that I've met and, like, really looked up to as stand-ups have been very nice.
I will say, in some ways, I think I sometimes bring the good out of people to some degree, so people aren't as, okay, yeah. Right.
Cecily, I'm glad you're here. Just talk to George. This is Feel Feelings with just George.
Just George.
You do have a very positive effect on a room. I was just kidding.
So I sometimes when I meet people, I'm like, oh, they seem like good people. And then there's this whole scandal thing. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, when I like, I don't doubt like the certain things about different people, but it is one of those things where it's like, well, they were nice to me, but also like a lot of people are nice to me just because I also don't engage a lot. So I'm like, hey, not even that excited. I'm like, hey. And then I don't really get to know a lot of the comedians, except for the ones that I am like I am in tune to their comedy, or like during the meat of the pandemic, like doing these Zoom shows and hanging out afterwards. That's when I was like, oh, I mean, that's how I decided George was an all right white dude.
I'll earn your trust back, I promise. I'm working hard, all right? Do I have my Ibram X. Kendi back here? I think I do.
Do you? Did you read it, though?
I got, like, the first chapter, and then
is it?
Okay, that's a step.
No, first chapter, and he started reading it like 2 years ago. That's actually, he's still constantly reading it.
We were just talking about this. I've been reading the same book about the history of horror movies since the show started. It's been a slog. I was
just as far as he's made it.
I gotta sound a lot of shit out.
Yeah, the dictionary gets a lot of use.
Let's see. No, I get it.
Remember Red, the branding? The product thing where they turn products a certain color red, and we thought we could capitalism of all our problems. The fact that we felt hope from that, and now we don't even bother to make fun of it.
Yeah.
So
that's a YouTube thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Fuck Bono.
And that was like an iPhone red.
There was an iPhone red. There was a Motorola Razr red, because it was before all other phone brands.
Razr? Oh, man.
There was an iPod red. There was, it was like, it was the word red in parentheses. And it was Bono had his fingers in it. All right. Yeah. Bono was involved. I think they did a whole iPod, and then the commercial was just U2 playing Vertigo.
that is accurate.
Yeah, it's red is up there. Maybe in a different world, but like Kony 2012 is up there too, where it's just, do you guys remember that at all? Or is that just on my college campus?
I am aware of it. I never really bothered to look up what it was, because it just felt like kind of trendy graffiti.
Yeah, it was a guy in Africa that was, recruiting is a very loose term.
Oh, the child soldier guy. Yeah.
They made this like,
it's like
whole
him
thing.
In name only. Like the trend is something.
Well, no, the trend was like, they had a great marketing budget. Like they were, they were the black square on Instagram of its time. Like, it was like, let's do nothing.
Yeah.
And then the guy that owned it, like, went crazy because he was like, I'm so successful at ending child soldiers. And then everyone was like, you didn't do the work. And now we're not helping you at all because you're an insane person. It's those things where it's like, it's performative. It seems very performative to paint a phone red, which is being made by like child labor. Yeah,
there's like a real issue in the actual product itself. Yeah. And then it's like paying a lot of money for this thing to like help something or someone. Cause I'm still not clear on exactly what we were supposed to be helping. I mean, also, I didn't buy a red.
Oh, yeah, I bought none of it.
Let's see. What was red? What was that even about? Why don't you read the next one? And I'm going to look up what red is.
Okay. Well, the next one transitions pretty well. We go from red to a big red suit. It's Santa.
Aww.
Just disillusioned Santa. At the loss of the myth.
But do you really think, I mean, Santa might be real. I'm not saying he is not real.
I mean,
I think it's possible that there is a white dude, because, I mean, it's likely not to be a black dude in the North Pole.
Generational wealth that goes back that far. You're probably right.
I once had wrapping paper with a black Santa on it, and my stepdad was like, oh, I thought it was Santa paper, and my mom was like, it's black Santa paper. Like, it's not a bad thing, but how did you not notice that it was black Santa?
I worked in a house that had a full Santa and Mrs. Claus and like the full nativity, everything in the house was black, but my favorite was the Mrs. Claus, because it was holding a candle and it would just like pull it to its face and like stare dead into the center of this candle with like an inch from its face, and then like put it back, and it was just like an automated little robot. Yeah. It was like trying to like Cecily, end its life by burning.
Cecily, this is what I want for the last couple minutes of this episode. I want you to double down.
Explain Santa. Black Santa?
No.
I just don't get it. The made-up man has to be white.
It's Santa and God. They're both white men.
From America.
Yeah. I love an Ohioan Jesus. but no, you were saying Santa, real. Like, I like the idea.
Okay, I don't necessarily think that Santa is the all magical being that is going down chimneys, because if he came down my chimney, he's, you know, looking for a breezin', you know what I mean? Like,
he's not welcome here.
Would you say on the show, if you don't mind, you know, it's a bold statement, but would you shoot Santa if he came down your chimney?
I would kill Santa.
There you go. Okay, that's fine. Down. Yeah.
It would be more of a Saw situation.
I mean, my mom always taught me, like, find the most blunt or pointy object that you can. So Santa might have like a, you know,
blunt force trauma.
Yeah.
Fair.
At least the bruise.
Sorry I killed Santa, but also cool. He shouldn't be in my house. Like,
there isn't a Santa. There was a Santa, but there isn't a Santa.
I'd be fine if you killed Tim Allen, to be honest. I'm okay with that.
But then you would have to become Santa. That's how
it
works.
Be a way better Santa than Michigan Republican Tim Allen.
Yeah.
But his shows are funny. He's still a funny dude.
But my parents do watch them, and they're like, yeah, we know he sucks, but like the show is fine. We're like, all right.
I like 70s Tim Allen that's like busted for cocaine. You ever see his mugshot? He's got like a big blonde curly mustache. That's an all right Tim Allen. So I don't want to factor a guess to what red represents. products that deal with red.
The blood of Jesus. Sorry. That's just my
body of Christ.
I have a hunch it's like feed the people or some shit. It's like some vague, just vague enough.
Or shoes.
No, that was Tom's, and I own a pair of Tom's. They're the most uncomfortable shoe I've ever worn, but I do look good in them. Today, over 25 million people living with HIV have an access to life-saving medication.
I was right.
AIDS-related deaths have declined by 60% since their peak in 2003, and the number of babies born each day with HIV has declined by more than two-thirds since 2000. And that's all because they sold a phone. Like, that's what they're saying, is that we've lowered it because we sell a t-shirt that says red on it. It's a black t-shirt, which I think is funny. Let's take a look at your products. What products are red products? We have...
Are they still doing that?
They're still doing it. They're still at it. Up to a point where, like, looking at it right now, there is, you know that, like, wallet company, The Ridge, that a lot of podcasts get, like, sponsors from? Mm. It's the Casper mattress of its day. There is a red The Ridge wallet. There is a red iPhone 13. There is a red t-shirt. There's a mini red Theragun that sends money
really?
For life-saving medication. Yep.
I want to get one of those anyway. So,
Kiss Gel Fantasy Nails with the red logo on them.
I feel like we're just doing a pitch now.
Yeah, we are. Jesus Christ, there's a Ram truck. 2022 Ram 1500 limited truck that is, but like, if you're driving that around, do you even know?
It's like, just a red truck.
Yeah, it's red.
No, it's a black truck with a red logo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It does feel like one of those things where this probably has done a lot of good because all of those things are expensive items. But I feel like it probably made one person a lot of money.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't. I think on this channel we're anti-red, but we're also not pro HIV.
Yeah, I'm pro red's message, anti
red's capitalist business model.
Capitalist capitalizing on tragedies around the world. That's whatever.
Do you want to do two more?
We have a lot of kind of Congress, the government. Actually, a lot of teaching, so skipping through those because we got into that already. Here's a fun one. Seeing a two-man Elvis tribute show in Northeast Philadelphia, one was young, skinny Elvis, and one was the older, heavier Elvis. But what was disillusioning was during intermission, they had an act so-and-so, the New Jersey strongman, and he came out and bent frying pans in half till old Elvis was ready.
Wait.
So
what? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's not disillusioned. That's everything I want in an Elvis show.
I don't think the disillusionment is in the Elvis show because that sounds great. I think when someone's introduced as a strong man and all he does is go, yeah, cool. No, we get it. Yeah, we know. What's the next thing? Like,
right,
let's step it up a little bit.
Do you have a bad? Well, I like their idea, but I disagree. I think that's an all-around fantastic time.
I mean, there's no way this is a recent story, so I mean, getting a story out of it too, like, that's worth it. That's what these moments are for.
I'm an observational comedian. I need this magic to happen in front of me. Right now I'm working on a thing about squeaky tires on a cart in Trader Joe's. You think that's going to make people laugh? It's not. I need Elvis and bending bands.
Yeah.
All right, last one. How much my cat hates the new kitten.
Ooh. I think it's more disappointment.
We brought Darcy up to meet the potential new kittens that we were going to get, and she just kept almost attacking all of them. Like, if we weren't in the room, they would have all just been swatted around by Darcy, and we were like, I guess we're not getting a new kitten. We did not have the right impression of our cat.
No, your cat's vicious. I love your cat.
Although she has settled in. I think we could probably pull it off now. But at the time, we couldn't. And now there's no longer kittens there.
Yeah.
Kittens grow up.
I'm not a cat person. So I'm not disillusioned in any way because I already just don't like them.
Can I ask what kind of pet person you are?
Dog.
Dog.
But also, I'm not a pet person because mm-hmm. they die like before I do.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, presuming, you know.
if you do, my brother, they tend to eat you. So,
yeah. My brother wants to get a turtle so he can leave it to his kids.
Oh man, I would love to get a parrot and teach it like all current slang so that like 100 years from now, generations later, they're like, what the hell is lit?
What's the one someone just sent me? Hold on. I have these moments where I feel very old because I have to look up what the fuck they mean.
Oh man, there are billboards on my way back into the city from work that are like,
John
here's
Morgan?
The current slang and yeah. here's what it means. I'm like, thank you.
The John Morgan thing.
John Morgan.
It's not even right. It's not even used correctly. Like, that's stupid.
If anything, it should be John Morgan John.
Yeah. John Morgan John.
This is John Morgan John.
So my friend sent me, it was just a person with a sound where he's like, oh, it feels so good. And then he like falls on the floor. But all it says is POV, you eat a bacon, egg, and cheese the Aki way with no bev.
So no bev is beverage, right?
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Aki? What's Aki?
So I had to Google this.
Octopus? Eight ways?
It means like silly or weird. And there's a deli in New York that makes like bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches, but it's like a pancake, syrup, bacon, egg, and cheese, another pancake, some more syrup, another bacon, egg, and cheese, and then like a pancake. And they just like smush it all down into one thing, or like they bake the sausage into the pancake and that's part of the bread, so it's a bacon, egg, and cheese, and sausage, and it's just a lot. It's over when you type in Aki Way Urban Dictionary, like it's Aki. Done.
Yeah,
you can't.
I mean, a lot of things are in the Urban Dictionary. My name's in there.
Yeah, what's your name in the Urban Dictionary?
No, just Cecily. And it's pretty accurate. I don't know who is
Should we end this episode with, let's see what each of our names are in Urban Dictionary.
The one that came up for me is Cecily, someone who is really sweet, caring, pretty, and you feel like you always want to be around her. She never draws attention to herself and is a very smart girl, but doesn't want to deny it. See, okay. That's nice. At least they didn't say like, well, yeah. Then there's other ones.
Yeah, there was one where I was like, this is too nice. Dan, what's yours?
Danny is the best person you will ever meet. He will teach you so much, like loving others unconditionally and never holding a grudge on someone. Be glad if you know a Danny and try hard to keep him in your life because you will regret ever letting him go. Danny has a tendency to be shy, but yet when you're alone with him, he will make you smile so hard that you will look like the Joker. Danny is one of the most amazing people on earth. The next definition repeats that, basically. And then, my favorite, after such glowing definitions, the third one is Danny, a guy who need help.
That was good. So let's break this down a little. This was written on November 29th, 2017, a simpler time.
Right.
George. George is the most George person you'll ever meet. He's always willing to George around and is always Georging everyone he meets. George is the nicest
George everybody.
Yeah, George is the nicest George that's ever Georged in the George. George, 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 George,
George, George, George,
George, George, George, George, George. And this is the quote that they used. Me. George. And then this is George, what's George saying? And George says, "Hey, that's me." person that wrote this, not underscore George.
Oh no. That's awesome.
But you know what else is awesome, Cecily? You are awesome. Thank you so much for doing this short.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for georging George.
The show is not about me, I swear.
Okay, bye.
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Getz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FeelFeelingsPod, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/FeelFeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
We're such a professional show.